No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing, bloody murder, molesting, running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around, something else is going wrong. Yeah, tell me, what the hell is going on?
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And thank you for downloading the Rusty Satellite Show, the show that's about the most important people in the Ville for this week in mid-February. I hate to keep bringing up the weather, but yeah, the weather's turning. There was 50 degrees in the forecast this week, so everybody's getting happy, getting a little spring fever, and some of the things we'll talk about today relate to getting out in the River City. So we're going to be doing that. I'll have my top five stories of the week coming up after our first interview, and later I'll be talking about the Taste of 502 Restaurant Week with Belinda Gates, the organizer of that event. It's a really great excuse to go out to eat in our town, and it's also one of my top five stories. But first, we have a primary coming up in May, on May the 20th, and a lot of important offices are up for grabs, and one of those is the office of Jefferson County Attorney. The position is currently held by Michael Connell, who was appointed to that position a few years back, won an election, and those 4 years are up, and now he's got a primary challenger in a young lady named Karen Faulkner, who is 33 years old, a very accomplished attorney here in the city. And I went down to her office on 6th Street this week and got to know Karen. She seems really smart, got her stuff together. She's a very impressive person, has some things to say about how O'Connell has handled that office and what her plans are to, in the next 2 or 3 months to campaign and capture the office of Jefferson County Attorney. So that's what we're going to be talking about in our first interview. So here it is, my interview with Karen Faulkner.
Learn about the movers and shakers in the Louisville business scene with Startup, Conversations with Louisville Entrepreneurs. A new episode every Tuesday at Louisville.am.
I am here in downtown Louisville at a lawyer's office, and not for something bad. I'm here with Karen Faulkner, who is an attorney who is also running for Jefferson County Attorney. And Karen, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, obviously, the first question that pops into my mind, Karen, is you're running against Michael Connell, an incumbent who's seems to. It's really hard to upset incumbents, I guess, in this race, and Democratic primary in May. So, what got into you to make you think that this was an election you could win?
Well, I saw a need for the change in the Jefferson County Attorney's Office and decided that I was the person to make that change. So I stepped up to take on this role and run against Mike O'Connell. I do understand that it is difficult to take on an incumbent, but given the fact of what's going on in the Jefferson County Attorney's Office, the tension between the judiciary and the attorneys within that office, the private bar, and everything that's just been going on and generating, I felt that it was time for a fresh look at what's going on, and new ideas brought to the plate.
Okay, so in your view, O'Connell is creating this conflict and controversy. I want to ask about this. I know that there's some talk about employees have to contribute to campaigns or something like that, right? Tell me what your position is on that.
Well, he calls it a voluntary contribution fund, but when you look at the numbers, you'll see that out of his budget from the last election, 44% of that came from his employees.
Okay.
I don't see that as voluntary. And even if it is voluntary, there's a problem with the look of impropriety. Having the county attorney accepting money from his employees, especially, you know, almost half of his contributions, is not something that I support. And when I become Jefferson County attorney, I will not accept contributions from my employees. Not only do we have the impropriety, I don't feel that these people earn enough money to be forced to contribute to a campaign or even asked to contribute to the campaign.
Okay.
These are hardworking attorneys who make very little salary.
Okay. Okay. Well, I can see that's an important issue and would make you very popular, I would think, among the staff over there. But how are you raising money for you to run this race? What are you doing?
Well, I have a tremendous amount of support. I have people contacting me every day. I actually will have a fundraiser, my kickoff fundraiser, on the 27th at the Marriott. And just contacting people in the Louisville community, people with the other criminal attorneys, you know, in the community, but also community leaders and other people I have connections with.
So you have a target, an amount of money you want to get to. I mean, this is a short campaign, really. You've got March and April, and
absolutely,
that's it.
Absolutely. I only have until May 20th, but I'm aiming high. I'm aiming for $200,000. I think that the amount of support that I've gotten is tremendous, and I think we can do it. And I've got a huge team behind me, and I have no doubt that we will be able to accomplish this.
Okay. Well, you've got quite a practice as an attorney. Give me a little background about how you came to be at this place. I know you've been involved in a high-profile case or two. Where did you come from? How did you get here?
Well, I started my legal career as a public defender, and I did that for a little over 5 years. I worked with both juveniles and adults as a public defender. And when I left the public defender's office, I went into private practice.
And this has all been here in Louisville?
Yes, right? All here in Louisville.
Except you grew up in?
I grew up in Lexington. I came here for undergrad. Actually came here to go to U of L, and I came here on scholarship and decided that this was the place that I loved and I wanted to call home.
Okay.
And then,
so what kind of scholarship you had?
I was a Governor's School for the Arts student, and U of L offers those scholarships to students.
I know. I had a son who was in that program. So
I started as an English major in college, and then, like I said, I fell in love with the city and decided this is where I wanted to make home. Kentucky's my home.
Okay.
And Louisville being the biggest city.
Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Louisville being the biggest city in Kentucky, it really was a good fit for me. And I decided I wanted to go to Brandeis and applied there and only there, and went through law school there.
Okay, well, you got a really interesting side activity. I know you have done work as an actress. Tell me a little bit about that and where that comes from and what you did.
Well, I do have a background in the arts, and so I really enjoy all kinds of arts. As I mentioned, I was a student at the Governor's School for the Arts and actually was a creative writing major there. But I do a little theater work on the side. It's definitely something that I have a fun time doing, mm-hmm. Have really enjoyed it. It certainly is an advantage for me as far as, I am not afraid of public speaking or getting up in front of people.
You have to tell people things they don't want to hear is how I like to put it sometimes, right?
Yeah, but, that's the nature of the job. But first and foremost, I am an attorney. That's my full-time job, and that is what I do.
And as an attorney, you're a defense attorney currently, so you defend people accused of crimes or not?
I do criminal defense work. Also, as in the criminal field, I represent victims. I represent victims in EPO hearings as well. I do family work. I'm a court-appointed parents attorney in Family Court Division 9.
Okay.
Do neglect and abuse cases on those. And then I also do other work within family court. I do child support cases.
Okay.
Both on the defense and the prosecuting side.
Well, that's I know those are difficult situations to deal with, and you have to have a lot of tact, I guess. So let's talk about this campaign a little bit. What do you think? What kind of activities are there going to be like? You expect to have a debate or anything, or how will people hear about this race? And because it's always a challenge in these types of races, I guess, to get people out to vote on and get interested in them, right?
Yeah, I hope that we do have the opportunity for a debate. At this point, I know I'll be speaking at the Young Democrats Club, and I believe Mike will be there. There have been a couple of other debates that I have agreed to, and we'll see if those come to fruition. Mm-hmm. But as far as getting my name out there, I'm doing everything I can to go talk to people, let them know my message, let them know it's time for a change, and I'm the change that they need.
Okay. You said it's change, but what specifically, if you can go into whatever what your big ideas are for how will it be different with you in the county attorney's office?
Well, obviously, we've already talked about stopping the voluntary contributions. That is definitely an issue. And, I've also mentioned that I want to bring back the teamwork that happens within the courthouse. There is a separation between the prosecutor's office and the judges, and there needs to be respect there. I also would like to take the transparency and put it in the county attorney's office. Right now, there is a lot of money that we don't know what's going on with it. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of money, too, that is, in my opinion, not being spent correctly. We're wasting taxpayer money, and we are therefore not being able to fund the programs that need to be funded, pay the prosecutors that need to be paid, and look at the community and try to better the community.
Sure. Sure. Well, and for a lot of our listeners probably don't know what the county attorney is really responsible for, and that is, I know there's publicity every year on the going after deadbeat dads and child support payments, but what are the county attorney's office is basically a prosecutor, right?
Well, the county attorney's office has both a criminal and a civil side.
Okay.
On the criminal side, they handle prosecuting the district court cases, misdemeanors and violations, and they have jurisdiction over that. They also do enforce child support. Within the criminal side, they also have a big focus on domestic violence. Okay. Child support is handled over in family court. Now, the civil side is actually a larger part of that budget, and the county attorney is responsible for essentially representing metro government, representing elected officials.
Right.
So it's a very important role.
Ah, that one's you, Sue. So there we go. You're busy, and my phone ring. It's the hardest part of these. Hardest part of these interviews is our phones ring right in the middle of them. So I'm sorry, I forgot to turn mine off. But we're about to wrap up here. But tell me, as we go, what can we expect? What's your next thing, and how are you going to get to the next step on your campaign?
Well, we just keep plugging away every single day.
Okay.
You know, this is about the people of Jefferson County. So my goal is to try to continue to get my message out there, talk to the people, continue to listen to their concerns, and put myself out there so that I can win this election and make the change that needs to happen.
Okay. Okay, well, we'll be following the election for the next 2 or 3 months and see how you do, Karen. Good luck to you. And thanks for being on the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thank you.
You love Louisville. You want Louisville when and where you want it? There's something new every day at Louisville.am.
No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
All right, and I wish Karen the best of luck in the May primary. I'm sure that in the coming weeks we'll have some other candidates for office. I know there's a big race in District 9 of the Metro Council. There's a lot of folks running for that seat. Tina Ward Pugh is stepping down after several terms, and in fact, sort of controversial. In the last week, the mayor endorsed a candidate for Metro Council in District 9. So. That's surprising. There's probably more than a dozen candidates running for that office. But anyway, that is not one of my top five stories of the week. And let's get right on with that. The first story, I think the biggest business story in town that's been sort of dominating the news is what's going on with Greater Louisville, Inc. Your Metro Chamber of Commerce had their annual meeting this week, one day after the announcement that the chief executive over there, Craig Richard, after 14 months, had resigned. And now this has not been a secret. Richard's departure has been rumored for weeks. And they have the GLI appointed Eileen Pickett, a former executive within the organization, to take over that spot. And she is in it. Now, GLI, of course, has had its problems over the last 6 months or so. Richard inherited a difficult situation, and in the fall had to let go of about 20% of his staff, and the organization has been struggling financially. Now, the place to read about what's going on at GLI is InsiderLouisville.com, where, of course, I'm a correspondent. But Insider Louisville did predict that Pickett would be appointed as the interim director, and is also now with a story out this week that former PNC executive Craig Grant is the top candidate for the full-time permanent position. You know, Pickett will not be there very long. The predictions are that she'll be there weeks and not months. So that is a key story to follow, as GLI is a very important organization in this city. In fact, the Metro government supplies almost $1 million to its annual budget. So that's really important economic development organization in this town. So there. So my second story is a story that came out this week in the Courier-Journal involving the Louisville Metro Health Department has come out with a 60-page report that it actually contains 82 recommendations to make our city more healthy, or the citizens of our city more healthy. Primarily, you know the story if you follow the news in Kentucky. It's about smoking and obesity. That's why we're so unhealthy. That's why we rank last in all those studies. In fact, in smoking, 23% of Louisvillians are still smoking. That's one in four people Fortunately, we have a smoking ban here. Our state legislature has seen fit to not pass any sort of smoking ban statewide. But, you know, this is a it's probably a controversial report in the Courier Journal put out by the health department. It recommends that for instance, the city do something about e-cigarettes and hookah bars, and it wants to you know, a few years ago on the food side, it wants to curb trans fat. So, you know, we had legislation a few years back that ended up not passing. We went for a public, you know, for a marketing campaign to help people try to eliminate trans fats. But people, you know, people in this town, they like to smoke and they like to eat. Because of that, we've got people who die of lung cancer, and we've got a lot of fat people. So credit to the city for making an attempt. You know, it's got a lot of this report has a lot of recommendations. Some are realistic, some are not. Some involve changing laws, and just some involve just persuading people to make changes in their lives. It's great that we have a mayor. This is one of the good things I think our mayor, Greg Fisher, is doing. He really thinks that the health of our citizens is important, and I do too. So, and would be, do you well to at least read this report from the health department, and consider all the habits that Louisvillians have that. It's an eye-opening thing. It's an eye-opening bunch of statistics in there. Surprisingly, the numbers are divided by race, and you know, it's some things that are unhealthy sort of strike African Americans at a higher rate than Caucasians in some cases. I think the whole smoking thing, I'll just say this real quickly and we'll move on. It's an education issue, and you're going to find that the more educated people are, the less likely they are to smoke, and you'll find that across the board. There's statistics that back that up, and what you'll also find is that in more advanced cities, I guess more cities that are more populous, more urban, I think the incidence of smoking rates is less. But all goes in my mind back to education. And, you know, smart people don't smoke is basically the bottom line. So on to a brighter topic. My number three story has to do with the Louisville Cardinals. And I know it's been a weird season because Louisville's lost four games this year, the Louisville men's team, and you know, other than the four games they've lost, they've pretty much blown people out. You know, I went to a game last week against Temple. They won by, you know, almost 40 points. This week they beat South Florida by 30. But the reason I bring this up is that the team has done an interesting thing that could catch on in this city. I'm not sure it's a great thing. I'm not joining in, but they're all growing beards, including Rick Pitino. Now, if you remember the World Series last year, the Red Sox, the Boston Red Sox, they were a mangy bunch because all the guys on the team had decided to grow beards like in midseason, and by the World Series, you know, there were all these ugly beards these guys hadn't, but it helped them psychologically, and they won the World Series. So now Rick Pitino's taking this on as something he wants to do, and he says they're not going to shave. Members of the team are not going to shave until the team loses. And it's quite possible, barring a loss, you know, they've got some tough games coming up. They've got Cincinnati this Saturday, which is ranked in the top 10. You know, they've been playing the bottom feeders of the AAC, their conference, and have been blowing them out. But they've got games coming up against Cincinnati, Memphis, SMU, Connecticut. If get through that stretch, and we're in mid-March before the tournaments start, this bunch of players is going to be hairy. And I guess the thing that's remarkable about it, I've heard people that really follow the team closely that are on board on the team. They're all growing beards too. So it's not just players and coaches, but it's fans, it's media types, it's a lot of people growing beards. So if you wonder why there's so much you know, facial hair around. Rick Pitino's, you know, little Tim, he said he's never grown any facial hair before. It looks kind of funny on him. You'll have to check him out. I'm sure by the Cincinnati game on Saturday, it'll be at a noticeable level of multicolor. That's why I don't grow anything on my face, because I know that I have white stuff and, you know, different colored stuff. It's just not very attractive. But anyway, it's going to be interesting to see if the Cars keep winning. We're going to see a lot of guys with beards. So speaking of Cards, this is it's a weak transition, I know. But I also like to touch on some culture. And, you know, as we've been in inside watching, for me, inside watching a lot of TV during the cold winter, been watching a lot of really good stuff on TV. And it's sort of bring this up because it's sort of a trend, a change in the way we watch TV. Netflix, which, first of all, it was hard to imagine they're producing their own programming now, but they have this great series called House of Cards. Starts Kevin Spacey as a U.S. congressman. He's now the vice president of the United States in this fictional show. It's a wonderful show. I tell you, it's great drama. It's a look inside the workings of our government, and Spacey does a great job. But the interesting thing about this is Netflix came out with its second season, and they released all the episodes at once. So a lot of people that I saw on Facebook were binge-watching House of Cards over the weekend, watching all the episodes. Or you can just, you know, watch them 1 week at a time. Now I've only watched the opening episode so far, and I'll warn you, there's a big shock in the first one if you follow House of Cards, and you should if you're interested in politics and drama and high quality television. There's a shocking thing that happens to one of the characters in the first episode, and I'm anxious to spend my idle time when I'm not watching The Wire or Shameless or House of Lies or Bill Maher or all the other things I like to watch on TV. I'm going to be watching this House of Cards series. It's really worth the Netflix subscription to have it. So anyway, let's talk a little bit about moving on to this week. It's Restaurant Week through, I think, the 3rd of March. This is a promotion brought to you by an organization called Taste of 502 and Belinda Gates, my next guest. And the deal is you can go to any of the restaurants on a list of quality restaurants in town, independent restaurants. These aren't chains. And you can either get dinner for two, three-course dinner for two for $50.20. Get it, 502, $50.20. Or it's in the more upscale places, it's $50.20 per person for a dinner for two. And it's a great excuse to get out, to experience a new restaurant or two. And, you know, I'm happy to get involved and jump on board with Restaurant Week. Belinda Gates, who started this a few years ago, is a former Luckett and Farley co-owner, executive. She gave all that up. She's a fascinating person. She likes to, you'll hear in the interview, she's really... got a lot of interesting hobbies. She's fly fishing. She has a Harley. She likes to play golf. She likes to travel. But her big project right now is the Taste of 502, and it's Restaurant Week. So I thought I'd give you my Rusty Satellite audience a little more insight into what's behind the Taste of 502. So here it is. Here's my interview with Belinda Gates. And the Rusty Satellite Show is at the Hyatt Regency downtown, where I just enjoyed a wonderful evening at the 502 Taste of Louisville event. Or I probably got the name wrong, but Belinda Gates is here with me. Welcome to the show, Belinda.
Hello. How are you doing?
All right. I'm doing great. Had a great time tonight. Now, tell me about this event and this big week, because a lot of our listeners have the opportunity to go out and eat at a bargain, right?
Absolutely. Well, tonight was the Taste of 502, which is the preview of 502 Restaurant Week here in Louisville, which is, as everybody knows, a great foodie town. We've really been putting Louisville on the map for restaurant destinations.
Okay.
And we created these foodie events to really promote the restaurant industry in Louisville and the surrounding area.
So you created this whole a new company just to do this, correct?
Essentially, yes.
Because you weren't. You know, the show is about the most interesting people in the Ville, and now you're one of those. So I have to learn a little bit about you, Melinda.
Now? Okay.
All right, so you
new category.
I knew you, I think, when you had a real job, right?
I used to have a real corporate job, yes, and I am done with that. I retired as one of the owners of Luckin & Farley Architects.
Wow, congratulations.
A little over 3 years ago, and traveled the country, did a lot of golf with my friends and did all that, and I have a lot of hobbies. I love to fly fish and ride my Harley across the country and do all kinds of fun things.
Wow.
And I got that out of my system.
And you went back to work.
I also do some consulting.
Okay.
I'm an executive coach,
okay,
which a lot of people don't realize that too. And that's kind of a real job. But I still travel and have fun. But one of the things I always really wanted to do is work with my daughter. And she is an event manager. And
okay,
she ran all the events at the Galt House and had my little grandson, and who is my joy, of course. And so we started this company. We kind of had the idea for doing Restaurant Week, and we thought, well, here's the perfect time to start an event company together.
Wow.
And so we work together. We have several other people that help us with it. We do other events too, but really our signature events are 502 Restaurant Week, the Taste of 502, and what we started last year, now 502 Lunch Week.
Oh, cool. Well, that sounds
so
cool. What part of year is that? What time of year is that?
Lunch week is in September.
Okay, cool.
So,
well, I'll look forward to that. Now, I know we don't have much time, and I want our listeners to get a taste, so to speak, of what this is all about. Now, the day, we got like 2 weeks, right, to go out to eat.
15 days,
eat,
yep,
to these restaurants, and for $50.20, what do I get?
For $50.20 per couple, or per person, depending on the restaurant.
So the highfalutin restaurants is 50 a person.
Yeah,
right?
The steak joints,
okay,
the Filari's of the world. Yeah, but it's still a great value. That's what it's all about. 3-course meal. Some restaurants will even add in a wine pairing. You just don't know what you're going to get. Some restaurants will offer four courses. It's just a great value.
Well, how do you, I mean, really, how does one choose? There's like 20-something of them, right?
We have 31 restaurants
31
this year.
31 restaurants.
And they are all homegrown.
But there's
local
only
restaurants.
16 days. I can't go to every one, right?
Well.
I'll have to do the weight loss plan right afterward.
That's right. No,
but I was upstairs, I was at Sway, and I had this great shrimp and grits thing. That was awesome.
Oh, there's going to be food across the board. We really have good variety this year, and top name chefs in Louisville are on top of this. They create great dishes for the special menu, and local favorites too. If you go into a restaurant.
Well, I know you hate this, but I'm going to ask you to just give me a few examples of chefs or restaurants that you think are really worth, places to go where, a lot of people don't get out. We're ready to get out and go somewhere. So,
well, we have some local favorites, of course, Napa River Grill in Westport Village. New this year to our event is Captain's Quarters on River Road. Everybody loves it there. Valari, we have several restaurants on Frankfort Avenue, Bourbon's Bistro, Valari. Downtown, we have the Oak Room, which people don't think that, go there, and it's a fabulous meal. And it's just all across town.
Okay, so the restaurants themselves, though, just to make it clear, if I walk in and say I'm here for Restaurant Week, I'm not really ordering off the menu, right?
You get a special 502 Restaurant Week menu.
Okay. So I walk into Napa River and I say, I want the special 502. Here's my $50. And
that's right.
And
that's right.
That's what we go to.
And the restaurants pay us a fee to join this event, and because we do all the promotions and we do everything for them. And then we pay a portion of that to Dare to Care.
Okay, so I was going to ask about a charity. I know we were upstairs. There was this wine drawing thing, and the money's going to a good cause then, right?
Oh, absolutely. Our local food bank, Dare to Care, benefits from this entire event quite a bit, and we're glad to help them out this way. And, you know, it's a particularly slow time of the year for restaurants. It's a great time to just get out, try a new restaurant, but make sure you make reservations because they get filled up really quickly.
Yeah, well, I can imagine because, you know, just sampling the food upstairs, it was really good. Now these deals, how do you know if you're looking at the list of 31 restaurants, and your website is what, 502 what?
502restaurantweek.com.
Okay. And there you can figure out whether it's one of the highfalutin 50 for two
or 50
for one.
It's not too highfalutin, but yeah, it's either per person or per couple.
Okay.
And we have the menus on the website.
Either way, it's a good deal.
It is great value.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. So where does it go from here? We've got this big week, and the idea is to go out as many times as you can before when March the what?
It goes through March 5th.
March 5th.
Make reservations and just go eat. You know, and
so what do you do? Where do you go?
Well,
what's your plans? Have you mapped out like a strategy?
We've got a few reservations already. For Valentine's Day, we went to Porcini, and they're also on a Restaurant Week participant. We like it there. But yeah, we have several that we try to go to. We take our sponsors out to eat. We take friends. We take people from out of town. So we'll try to hit as many as we can. And then I hit the Y.
Why? Yeah, that's what we need after all that. Okay, well, I was just upstairs. Tell me, I know what I liked, and Paul over there, she had a different dish that she liked. Well, you liked the mushroom thing from Del Frisco's.
Del Frisco's.
Did
yes.
you have a favorite up there tonight?
Del Frisco's has great steak. That was very popular tonight.
Yeah, we had the mushroom and the spinach casserole.
There was a rumor there were at least three or four restaurants with shrimp and grits.
Oh, yeah.
And I only tried the one, which was from Captain's Quarters, and it was fabulous.
Night, guys.
That's
see you,
good.
Terry.
Oh, see you.
Nice meeting you.
I hope you had a lot to eat.
All right. Well, that was a fun show. Thanks to Belinda Gates for appearing on the show and inviting me out to the Taste of 502 this week, and to Karen Faulkner. Good luck to her on her candidacy for Jefferson County Attorney, and we'll be paying attention to the politics of the city in the next couple of months. So that'll be very exciting. I know a lot of the attention is focused on the U.S. Senate race with Mitch McConnell and Allison Lundgren Grimes, but there's a lot of other offices, and we'll have some other candidates on the Rusty Satellite Show in the coming weeks. So anyway, thanks to everyone who downloaded the podcast, listened to this long. Please tell your friends about it. Please spread the word. This is into its 35th week now, and the Rusty Satellite Show is picking up steam. Really enjoy doing it. Really enjoy hearing from you. Any thoughts, any suggestions for guests, and if you really like a Rusty Satellite t-shirt, I got a few left for you. So anyway, that'll do it for this edition of the Rusty Satellite Show. We'll be back with two more of the most interesting people in the Ville next week.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city.